Brief items. Cloud Native Computing Foundation announces TUF graduation.
The Cloud Native Computing Foundation CNCF is part of the Linux Foundation that is focused on Kubernetes and other cloud technologies. It has announced that the update framework TUF has graduated to a full member project. Quote, TUF, an open-source technology that secures software update systems, is the first specification and first security-focused project to graduate. Justin Kapoz, Associate Professor of Computer Science and Engineering at NYU Tandon School of Engineering, initially developed the project in 2009. Kapoz is also the first academic researcher to lead a graduated project, and TUF is the first project born out of a university to graduate.
Huang, can we build trustable hardware?
Andrew Bunny Huang has posted a detailed article on why creating trustable hardware is so difficult and describing a project he's working on to do it anyway. While open hardware has the opportunity to empower users to innovate and embody a more correct and transparent design intent than closed hardware, at the end of the day any hardware of sufficient complexity is not practical to verify, whether open or closed. Even if we publish the complete mask set for a modern billion transistor CPU, this source code is meaningless without a practical method to verify an equivalence between the mask set and the chip in your possession down to a near atomic level without simultaneously destroying the CPU.
Garrett, Wi-Fi deauthentication attacks and home security.
Matthew Garrett works out how to avoid being recorded by Ring door cameras in his apartment building. The most interesting one here is the deauthentication frame that access points can use to tell clients that they're no longer welcome. These can be sent for a variety of reasons, including resource exhaustion or authentication failure. And, by default, they're entirely unprotected. Anyone can inject such a frame into your network and cause clients to believe they're no longer authorized to use the network, at which point they'll have to go through a new authentication cycle, and while they're doing that, they're not able to send any other packets.
Security quotes of the week.
Quote, these aren't subtle vulnerabilities. These are stupid design decisions made by engineers who had no idea how to create a secure system. And this, in a nutshell, is the problem with the Internet of Things. Quote ends. Bruce Schneier comments on a vulnerability report about DTEN video conferencing devices. Quote, the arguably creepier surveillance system implemented by Degree Analytics doubles as a campus Wi-Fi network that tracks students' every move unless they check no on an opt-out window offering to support student success, operations, and security. Degree Analytics not only tracks attendance, but it also monitors students' movements from dorms to dining halls to ostensibly identify unhealthy behavioral patterns, sleeping too much, not eating, avoiding student life programs. Quote ends. Whitney Kimball at Gizmodo.
Kernel release status.
The current development kernel is 5.5-RC4. Released on December 29. Linus said, to absolutely nobody's surprise, last week was very quiet indeed, it's hardly even worth making an RC release, but there are __some_fixes in here, so here's the usual weekly Sunday afternoon RC. Previously, 5.5-RC3 was released on December 22. Stable updates, 5.4.6, 4.19.91, 4.14.160, 4.9.207, and 4.4.207 were released on December 21, followed by 5.4.7, 4.19.92, and 4.14.161 on December 31.
Quotes of the week.
Quote, by default Ricer 5 offers distribution based on algorithms, so-called fiber striping, invented by Eduard Shishkin, patented stuff. With our algorithms all your data will be distributed evenly and fairly among all devices components of the logical volume. It means that portion of I/O requests issued against each device is equal to relative capacity of that device assigned by user. Operation of adding, removing a device to, from a logical volume automatically invokes data migration, so that resulted distribution is also fair. Quote ends. Edward Shishkin announces the Ricer 5 file system. Quote, by getting rid of the blocking pool, and making, dev, random work like getRandom with flags set to zero, we're effectively abandoning any kind of assertion that, dev, random is some kind of TRNG, true random number generator. This is not insane, this is what the **BSDs have always done. Quote ends. Ted So. Quote. This is theoretically the most expensive bit of research I've ever done for the Bufferbloat project. In a matter of hours I'll have violated copyright approximately 800 times, which is about $200 million at $250k per. Quote ends. Dave Tott.
Alpine Linux 3.11 released.
Version 3.11 of the lightweight Alpine Linux distribution is available. Changes include the 5.4 kernel, Raspberry Pi 4 support, GNOME and KDE support, and the deprecation of Python 2.
The results from the Debian init system GR.
The results from the Debian general resolution vote on init systems are in. The project's developers chose the option titled systemd, but we support exploring alternatives. It makes systemd into the preferred init system, and allows packages to use systemd-specific features. Packagers are not required to support other init systems, but support for other systems is encouraged where it is practical. Full story comments, 90.
Gorny, a distribution kernel for Gentoo.
Michal Gorny describes an effort to create something one might have never expected to see, a binary kernel package for the Gentoo distribution. I have manually configured the kernels for my private systems long time ago. Today, I wouldn't really have bothered. In fact, I realized that for some time I'm really hesitant to even upgrade them because of the effort needed to update configuration. The worst part is, whenever a new kernel does not boot, I have to ask myself, is it a real bug, or is it my fault for configuring it wrong? Quote.
Distribution quote of the fortnight.
Quote. The init system DGR is over and we have reached the results in a democratic way by following Debian constitution. However, following the process is orthogonal to our opinions, positions we took, and our feelings. Now, more than ever, it's important to be nice to each other, have a lot of compassion and not be condescending, whatever group you belong to. So, I am sending hugs to all my fellow Debian colleagues no matter whether they are pro systemd, anti systemd, anything in between, or something completely different. Happy New Year to all of you and the Debian project as whole. Quote ends. Andre Suri.
Development quotes of the fortnight.
Quote. Of course, half of the values in this file violate some part of the ELF standard, and it's a wonder that Linux will even consent to sneeze on it, much less give it a process ID. This is not the sort of program to which one would normally be willing to confess authorship. On the other hand, every single byte in this executable file can be accounted for and justified. How many executables have you created lately that you can say that about? Quote ends. Brian Rader thanks to Paul Wise. Quote. It is unknown when code formatting wars first began. Given that FORTRAN was the first real programming language with an actual syntax and was first released in 1957, the answer probably is way, way before that. A reasonable guess would be the first or second design meeting on the syntax. Fighting over code style kept raging for almost 60 years after that. The arguments were the same, the discussion was the same, no progress was ever made. Then C-Lang format was introduced and suddenly everything changed. Quote ends. UC Pakkinen. Page editor, Jake Edge.